Good morning, everybody. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to the meeting of May 4th, 2018 of the San Diego Housing Commission Board. Let me just explain a couple rules of engagement, please. If you wish to address the commission, you must fill out a speaker slip and submit it to the recording secretary. We don't have any consent agenda items today, so I would otherwise mention that we have the right to be able to pull items from the consent agenda and move them to action. So with that, as an abbreviated rules of engagement, let's get into the meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Let the record show that we have a quorum of commissioners present today. We have one request to speak on the non-agenda public comment, and I'd like to call Ms. Joy Suñata forward, please. Ms. Suñata, welcome.
There we go. Good morning, everyone. It's always an honor to have the ability, not the ability, the ability to these days, the ability and the opportunity to speak to all of you and to all the people in the audience. And here's what I'm speaking on today. Of course, I'm very interested in affordable housing these days. That's my top priority. And what's really catching my attention today, and I think it's a gem for all of us to work with, I really do. It's going to be my gem to try to shine up and really get working and looking beautiful. And that's the affordable housing covenants that are expiring soon. And the figure that was thrown out to me at a meeting in City Council recently was about 2,200. And that's a pretty sizable figure. And I myself live in affordable housing, and I'm concerned about that happening in the future. So here's what I want to put out to you to help us citizens with, and especially the people that are going to be possibly involved in that. We want to know, we want to do prevention. We want to prevent people from becoming homeless as a result of that. We don't want more homeless, right? Especially the homeless that we can prevent from happening. So I want to ask you to please put your arms around this gem like I am. 2,200 people may lose their homes possibly, you know, in a reasonably short period of time. That's something we can do something with. And there's a lot, I'm looking at it now very closely. I'm looking forward to the affordable housing portal opening up for our citizens so that we can go in there and find out what properties this is going to happen to. We want our tenants to know, have lots of heads up time before this happens. We also want to know if there's any relocation funds available. We want to know all of these things so that we have the knowledge and the power to prevent people from becoming homeless, and to just, it's just a wonderful feeling when you have the knowledge as to what's going to happen in your life. So I think it's a great one for you to work with and have some success with. And I've been looking at what happens when they come up to the expiring period. And I'm really confused about it, so I don't even speak well to it this morning because it seems very complicated, as most things are in government. And it's, you know, who gets first crack at the bidding on these properties when they come up. I guess it's been adjusted to something that's very positive for affordable housing. But I don't, it seems very tenuous and very complicated to me, and I wish it weren't. I want those properties to come back and to stay where they are, to get even better or bigger as far as affordable housing is concerned. So I think that pretty much covers it. So please put your arms around that, Mr. Gentry, and everyone else, and everyone in the audience. It's such a difficult situation right now. I'm looking at this problem with affordable housing, and somebody said that it's a disease. We don't look at the, you know, the symptoms. Look at the disease. And I don't know what the disease fully is that's creating this lack of supply. But whatever it is, I think that all of us, it's almost like Hep A in a way, but not really. But I think we can look at it with that kind of a crisis situation that we just need to really, really take care of it. Not take care of it so much as take the steps to make it happen. And more than that even is for you to help us citizens to understand it more because it's complicated. Oh, one more thing. I'm looking at the AMI now. The AMI, I thought it was simple. I never really looked at it in the past when I was very active in government, but I've been looking at it now, and I'm blown away by the complexity of it and the flexibility that managers and people seem to have around how they work with what's charged for people. So I don't know fully how much of that is correct or how much I'm saying wrong, but if I'm saying it wrong, please forgive me and please help me to have more knowledge and power so that I can make my life better and help others to make theirs better. So I don't know if I went over 3 minutes. I'm waiting for the buzzer.
No, you did. But I appreciate your comments.
I'm so used to City Hall and CCD, I mean, Civic San Diego. They give you the buzzer, almost
right.
Give you the hook to kick out.
Today's your lucky day.
Thank you.
thank you, Ms. Sunyata. I appreciate your comments this morning. And let me say, the points that you bring up are legitimate points, and you deserve to know that information, and we have staff here that can get you briefed on all those issues to make sure that you understand the issues that you're unsure about right now. Let's move on, commissioners. I'll open it up to any commissioner comments that you may have. Seeing none, we'll move from there on to the report from the president and CEO, Mr. Gentry.
Yes, sir. I have about a half a dozen items just to briefly apprise the board of. To start with, I was actually spent the better part of a week in Washington, D.C., part of this week and last week, dealing with a couple of opportunities to speak before the Congress. And on April the 30th, I had the opportunity to participate with a panel of other moving to work agencies to give a presentation on how the Housing Commission has used this federal flexibility under the movement to work status to provide more services for homeless individuals than is the case with most housing agencies across the country. And that seemed to go very well. There were a lot of congressional staff there, a lot of Tim's counterparts, and it was in the Rayburn Building, and San Diego wound up looking pretty good. Week before that, on April the 25th, I had the opportunity to present some testimony before the House Financial Services Committee Subcommittee on Housing and Insurance. And in that one, what I talked about was the Housing Commission's Rent Reform Initiative, which we call Path to Success. And rent reform is a moniker, if you will, a term that's come into vogue lately as a means of trying to encourage our residents who are work-able to become productively employed. As we've talked in this room any number of times in the past, much of the rent structure for most public housing and voucher programs actually not only don't encourage people to work who are work-able, they inhibit it by a confiscatory rent system. We have designed a system here under the leadership of Jeff Davis and his moving to work folks that has found a way to encourage people to go to work where they can and to then reward them with more beneficial rents if they do go to work. I'll point out that this, of course, does not include those unable to work, such as the elderly, the disabled, or those with hardship situations. So we are beginning to get some national recognition for some of the success we've had in our Move Into Work program. The other part of my time in D.C. this week was at an annual Move Into Work conference, which we put on. I see Suket Dayal sitting in the back of the room back there, but Suket has taken the leadership of putting together this annual conference for the MTW agencies across the country. It's always in D.C., typically this time of year. And with, as is the case with a lot of what we do, the San Diego model has become known across the country as providing some real innovations in the way public housing and the voucher program in particular are done. Just wanted to recognize the staff involved in that and also that we're getting some good attention right now in Washington. Also, on May the 1st, just this past Tuesday, while I was in D.C., U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein visited San Diego. And Senator Feinstein's part of her visit was to tour the Monarch School. Commissioner Ben Moraga joined her there along with our Chief of Staff, Jeff Davis. And at a news conference following the tour, Jeff was able to highlight the Housing Commission's connection with the Monarch School, and the fact that we have 25 vouchers placed with families there, with kids at that school. So again, it's an indication of how this agency is stepping up. We're doing non-traditional things and serving a customer base that we've not always served in the past. Since the time of the last board meeting, we've had two property events that I'd like to just highlight as well. One grand opening and one groundbreaking. On April the 27th, just last Friday, the North Park Seniors property celebrated its grand opening on April the 27th. Chair Tassin and Chief Strategy Officer Debbie Ruane were in attendance at that grand opening. Speakers included Senate Assembly Majority Whip Todd Gloria and San Diego City Councilmember Chris Ward and Councilmember Georgette Gomez. And this is the first LGBT-affirming property in San Diego, and one of the very few across the country. I will point out that while I was in D.C. this past week, a number of cohorts in the industry came up to me to congratulate me on this property, what a groundbreaking type of property it is. I'll remind you that the Housing Commission has invested some $7 million of our city loan fund monies in this property. And we also issued some $15 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds toward this development. If you've not been by there, as you should, it's in Texas, and a half block off El Cajon. It is a striking property, and the Community Housing Works, under the leadership of Sue Reynolds, did an excellent job putting this property together. Also, earlier last month, on April the 14th, the Housing Commission participated in a groundbreaking ceremony at Encanto Village. Encanto Village will provide some 65 new affordable rental apartments for families with incomes up to 60% of San Diego's area median income. Eight of these units will be set aside for military veterans who are experiencing homelessness. This agency also has invested a loan of just over $1 million toward the development of this village and issued tax-exempt bonds as well. On April the 20th, there was a published commentary in the UT that was co-written by Mayor Faulkner and by me. Thank you, Scott Marshall, for putting that one together for the mayor and me. The UT published this commentary in support of Assembly Bill 3171, which is being under consideration in Sacramento right now. AB 3171 would direct some $1.5 billion in unencumbered state resources to address homelessness throughout the state. When matched with local funds, which is going to be required, these state funds will help cities expand their efforts in dealing with the homelessness issue. And if there's one thing we know already that we need is more resources to focus on affordable housing in the city here, and with homelessness as a subset of that. I'll point out that that is a bill that's supported by, in a bipartisan fashion, by the Big 11 mayors throughout San Diego, including Mayor Faulkner, and most of the state assembly members. In closing, I'd like to also indicate that several of us were in attendance last night at the San Diego Housing Federation's annual Ruby Awards ceremony. I know Steve Russell is in the audience. I don't see him right now, but Steve, it was a wonderful event. And there were three partnership efforts that received awards that each have significant support from this organization. The first is the Atmosphere Apartments downtown, which received the Ruby Award for Project of the Year in New Construction. This development provides some 202 affordable rental apartments, of which 51 are set aside for homeless San Diegans. And the Housing Commission issued bonds with that and has some significant resources invested as well. Also, that's done by Wakeland. Also done by Wakeland was the Talmadge Gateway, which was also recognized last night with the CSH Supportive Housing Award, meaning homeless. It included some 59 affordable rental housing units with supported services for homeless seniors. also done by Wakeland. And I'll point out that all four of the properties that were up for consideration with this award last night had this support from this agency in each of the four of them. And finally, North Park Seniors, which I mentioned a minute ago, earned two Ruby Awards, the Innovations Award and the SDG&E Efficiency and Sustainability Award. Of course, that was in partnership with Community Housing Works. So Community Housing Works and Wakeland are two of our oldest partners. We continue to do wonderful work with them. And the Ruby Awards last night were a nice recognition of that. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that completes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Just a couple of reactions. One is I love the fact that we are a moving to work organization and that we are able to participate and share our success stories with the country for those that are interested in knowing how we are implementing that program. I think it's also critically important that we share that kind of insight here locally so that people can understand the flexibility and the innovation that this organization is implementing through their Moving to Work program. So I would encourage us to be proactive in our communications and sharing the insights of that program. On the North Park project, absolutely beautiful project. Debbie and I were there, and it's just a real success story, and we were glad to participate in there. And also my congratulations to Mr. Russell last night on a great Ruby Awards event last night. Okay, commissioners, let's move on. We have the minutes of the meeting of April 6th that have been distributed to you. Are any corrections or deletions to those minutes? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve. I have a motion by Commissioner Walsh, second. Commissioner Dottie, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, let's go on. We have no consent items today, so we will go right into the first item on the agenda, which is item 100. This is a contract for fiscal year 2019, the YWCA of San Diego County Cortez Hill Family Interim Housing Program. Here to present is Mr. Davis and Ms. Jones. Welcome.
Good morning, Chair Tassin. Good morning, Commissioners. Jeff Davis, Chief of Staff, and with me is Lisa Jones, our Director of Housing First Administration. This morning, we are recommending that the Housing Commission authorize the execution of an agreement with the YWCA of San Diego County to provide interim housing services totaling $697,489 during the term of July 1st, 2018 to June 30th, 2019. Please note that this total funding amount is a correction to what was stated in the board report. The amounts for each funding source are correct, but the overall total amount was incorrect. The Housing Commission has contracted with the YWCA to operate the Cortez Family Hill Center since 2010. The City of San Diego provides the property site directly to the YWCA via a lease between the city and the Y. The final option year of the previous operations contract will expire on June 30th, 2018. So Cortez Hill Family Center currently operates as a year-round service enhanced interim housing program in alignment with the principles of Housing First for a minimum of 150 families with children experiencing homelessness in the city. Those 150 families include on average a minimum of 300 children who are served annually. The program provides safe, low-barrier, interim housing, as well as stabilization and supportive services to prepare homeless families for the most appropriate longer-term or permanent housing intervention. During program participation, families are provided access and support through case management, on-site and off-site counseling services, outside agency referrals, as well as regular daily meals, childcare, and children's activities. In fiscal year 2017, 242 households were served, which included 813 individuals, of which 509 were children. In the current contract year between July 2017 and March 2018, the Cortez Hill Interim Shelter served 211 households, including 667 individuals, of which 411 were children.
Apologies, we're not getting the slide to move forward. I think we're here. I think we're good. proposed funding approved by this action is included in the Housing Commission's fiscal year 2019 proposed budget, which is pending approval. Approving this action will authorize the Housing Commission to expend $697,489. The funding for this program consists of $198,863 of community development block grant funds allocated by the City of San Diego for the funding of social services in fiscal year 2019. It also includes $305,626 of emergency solutions grant funds available for the funding of social services in fiscal year 2019, and $200,000 from the City of San Diego Affordable Housing Fund administered by the Housing Commission and contingent upon the appropriation of said funds by the City of San Diego. Approving this action will result in the provision of shelter and services for approximately 150 families, consisting of approximately 500 individuals at an average annual cost to the city of $12.20 per bed night. Today, we are asking the Housing Commission to take the following actions. Authorize the execution of a sole source agreement with YWCA of San Diego County in the amount of $697,489 to provide interim housing services to homeless families with children. Authorize the President and Chief Executive Officer, or designee, to execute all necessary documents and instruments that are necessary and are appropriate to implement these approvals in a form and format approved by General Counsel, and to take such actions necessary and or appropriate to implement these approvals. And authorize the President and CEO to substitute funding sources and or increase compensation by not more than 20% of the total agreement amount for the proposed agreement, if necessary, without further action by the Board of Commissioners, but only if and to the extent that funds are determined to be available for such purposes. This concludes our presentation, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you for the presentation. Let me ask you right off the top, we continuously, I suspect, evaluate the work that YWCA is doing at this facility?
Yes, we do. They provide us monthly program reports, which we go into in detail with our senior program analysts, and I and our program managers get involved in that as well. In addition, we do quarterly monitoring visits to our compliance department that goes out, looks at case files, looks at individual housing stability plans, program exits, and things of that nature.
As part of this evaluation and monitoring that you do, have you evaluated or discovered any deficiencies or weaknesses in the way that they're operating the program?
We really haven't. YWCA does a very good job in providing an infusion of services with these families. They have kind of a unique responsibility in that they're not just dealing with individuals that are responsible for themselves. They're responsible for children as well. So they really look at the holistic approach to what those families' needs are, meeting children's needs as well. And one of their outcomes that's fairly positive is the number of families that exit with income. So when they exit the program, they're not just exiting necessarily to another housing opportunity, whether it's longer term or permanent housing. They're exiting with income with those families, and that's really critical.
How long have they been running this program for us?
We've been contracting with them since July of 2010, but they had that contract directed with the city for several years prior to that.
And have we ever tested the waters just to see who else is out there that could run these similar type of programs?
We haven't done so at this time. They have a contract with the city to lease the program site. So the city's, that kind of helps lend towards the whole sole source agreement. But it's something that can always be considered.
I'm not suggesting it. I'm just wanting to make sure that we're watching it closely and we're making sure that it's being operated in the best fashion possible.
Sorry, they were also part of an interim shelter action plan that was recommended several years ago. All of the interim shelters went through sort of a monitoring review process by an independent third party, and they've been very compliant with that plan as well.
Thank you. Commissioners, questions? Thank you for the presentation. Hearing none, I have no request to speak on this item, Commissioners. I'll entertain a motion to approve. Motion by Commissioner Davis, second by Commissioner Walsh. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Ms. Jones. Mr. Davis, let's go on to item 101. Item 101 is fiscal year 2018 City of San Diego Temporary Bridge Shelter Program's first renewal option and corresponding memorandum of understanding between the Housing Commission and the City of San Diego. Mr. Davis?
Good morning again. Jeff Davis and Lisa Jones here to present to you this morning a request that the Housing Commission recommend that the Housing Authority approve the first option to extend the Temporary Bridge Shelter Program contracts for 3 months through September 30th, 2018. Last November, the Housing Commission, City Council, and Housing Authority reallocated up to $6.5 million in funding previously allotted to Housing for San Diego, the Housing Commission's Homelessness Action Plan, to support the city's temporary bridge shelters. This approval supported the oversight and management of the bridge shelters, operated at three sites within the city, with the goals of addressing homelessness in the city, as well as combating the regional hepatitis A outbreak. In addition, the City Council also authorized the execution of a MOU between the City and the Housing Commission for oversight and administration of the temporary bridge shelters. The initial contract term for the three contracts with the bridge shelter operators and the initial term of the MOU between the Housing Commission and the City expire on June 30, 2018. When the bridge shelters were implemented in winter of 2017, they were a new type of housing option in the city, created to address the needs of unsheltered homeless individuals, veterans, and families with children. The bridge shelters offer a safe, centralized location for men, women, and children experiencing homelessness to receive temporary housing and appropriate services needed to expedite placement into permanent or longer-term housing options based on each individual's unique circumstances. What makes bridge housing unique is that it not only provides temporary shelter and basic services for homeless individuals and families, but it focuses on building opportunities to access longer-term or permanent housing options. Housing navigators on staff, as well as other community agencies, work with residents to connect persons experiencing homelessness to a variety of resources within the community and assist the resident in housing readiness and identifying their housing options. The original agreements provided that a third-party evaluation of the bridge shelters would start in their fourth operation month. On March 6, 2018, the Housing Commission contracted with an independent third party to conduct a Housing First evaluation of the bridge shelters, and this is currently underway. To allow time for this evaluation to be completed, staff recommends approval of the requested renewal term for 3 months from July through September 2018. The first phase of the evaluation will look at the bridge model itself to ensure that the program design, program expectations, and contractual requirements are in alignment with successful housing outcomes. The second phase of the evaluation will focus on the individual operations of the three shelters to ensure that they are in alignment with the principles of Housing First and that operational policies and practices maintain fidelity to the bridge program model. The initial evaluation is due by May 30, 2018, and recommendations for refinement of the program model and program outcomes or individual changes to operational practices will be finalized by June 30, 2018. Recommended changes to the program model or program operations will be incorporated into the final fiscal year 2019 contracts, which will be brought to the board as part of the recommendation for approval to exercise the first option year of the bridge shelter contracts.
The proposed funding approved by this action is included in the Housing Commission's fiscal year 2019 proposed budget, which is pending approval. Approving this action will authorize the Housing Commission to expend $2.5 million from Housing Commission property reserves. The City of San Diego has committed to replenish these Housing Commission funds expended for the temporary bridge shelters, as well as the new Transitional Storage Center and proposed Housing Navigation Center, with approximately $12 million already identified by the city. Approving this action will result in the provision of approximately 324 beds provided to single adults experiencing homelessness at the single adult shelter, 150 beds for single women and families experiencing homelessness at the single women and families shelter, and 200 beds for adult veterans at the veterans shelter at an average cost of $40.32 per bed night. The activities in the bridge shelter's March operating month are detailed in the informational report submitted to the board. This slide provides an overview of activities since shelter opening. The shelter for single adults operated by Alpha Project opened on December 1, 2017, providing 324 beds. The shelter for veterans operated by Veterans Village of San Diego opened on December 22, providing 200 beds. And the shelter for single women and families with children operated by Father Joe's Villages opened on January 3, 2018, providing 150 beds nightly. As of March 31, 2018, a total of 130 positive exits have been achieved across the three bridge shelters since the program started. On March 31st, the occupancy rate for the single adult shelter was 99%. The occupancy rate for shelter for single women and families with children was 95%. And the occupancy rate of the veterans shelter was 84% on March 31st. Today, we are asking the Housing Commission to recommend that the Housing Authority authorize the execution of the first option to renew agreements with Alfred Project for the homeless for the operation of single adult shelter in the amount of $1,200,000, Veterans Village of San Diego for the operation of the veterans shelter in the amount of $750,000, and Father Joe's Villages for the operation of the shelter for single women and families in the amount of $550,000, in accordance with Housing Authority Resolution Number HA-1755. The first option to extend the Memorandum of Understanding between the Housing Commission and the City for the temporary bridge shelters for a one-year term from July 1, 2018 through June 30, 2019, in accordance with Housing Authority Resolution HA-1755. As well as authorize the Housing Commission's President and Chief Executive Officer or designee to execute all necessary documents and instruments that are necessary and or appropriate to implement these approvals in a form approved by General Counsel and to take such actions as necessary and or appropriate to implement these approvals. In addition, to authorize the Housing Commission's President and CEO to substitute funding sources and or increase compensation by not more than 10% of the total agreement amount for the proposed agreement, if necessary, without further action by the Board of Commissioners or the Housing Authority, but only if and to the extent that funds are determined to be available for such purposes. Staff further asks the Housing Commission to recommend that the City Council approve execution of the first renewal option to the MOU between the City and the Housing Commission for oversight and administration of the temporary bridge shelters for a one-year term from July 1, 2018 through June 30, 2019, in accordance with City Council Resolution Number R311-427. This concludes our presentation, and we're happy to answer your questions.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Before I call Mr. Russell up, who's requested to speak on this item, let me just say that this, Commissioners, isn't the ideal condition for a municipality or a housing commission to be dealing with homeless issues. I think it's reflective of the crisis we have in homelessness here in San Diego. I'll have some questions for you in a second, but let me first call up Mr. Russell for his comments. Mr. Russell, welcome.
There we go. Thank you. Good morning, members of the Commission. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm Stephen Russell, Executive Director of the San Diego Housing Federation. And I appreciate that so many of you were able to see last night, all in one place, the fine work that the members of the Federation do in producing permanent solutions to the problem of homelessness in the city. This particular item seems to me a little bit out of order, probably could have been heard after the budget, because I think this is very, very specific. And I have longer comments I'll give speaking to the budget. We commend absolutely the commitment of the Commission to address what is one of the most critical issues of our time. We question the use of temporary funds for permanent housing funds for temporary solutions, dipping into reserves. And these are issues I bring up more during the budget discussion. So let me just say that I think it's important also that we make sure the city is really fulfilling its side of the terms of the MOU in terms of replacing the money that they said they would replace, and in terms of identifying other resources for future years. So I will save most of my comments for the discussion during budget, but I actually encourage you to continue this item until after the budget discussion, because I think that's an appropriate way to deal with this particular bit of business. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. Ms. Jones, Mr. Davis, let me ask you a question before I invite the commissioners to weigh in on this. Is what's the I realize what you're asking us to fund here. What is the total amount of these operations for these temporary? Is this the entire cost, or are there is there additional costs? And if so, what are the other sources of funding?
This is the entire cost to the Housing Commission. The city puts in monthly resources that support laundry facilities, shower facilities, bathroom facilities, security fencing, and sanitation. So that's several million dollars. I can't say exactly, but that runs into the several millions of dollars that they contribute on an annual basis as well.
Let me ask you this. This idea was brought forward by the private sector. There was a lot of public pressure put on the city and the commission to do something immediately to resolve the crisis that we had, at least to try to mitigate some of the problem that we had. And they were committing dollars. Was that primarily for the cost of the tent structures?
It was entirely for the cost of the structures themselves.
And did they, was that fulfilled? Did they pay for the entire cost of the structures?
They paid for the entire cost of two of the structures. The third, Father Joe's, was paid for through the city and the Housing Commission.
In terms of your analysis that you've got going, I'm looking forward to having your response back next month on how things are going. The numbers of capacity and how much they have been filled is telling of the dramatic need that we have for. But I am looking forward to hearing what recommendations we might be able to have to improve the operations that we have. Commissioners, I'll open it up to any questions that you may have. Commissioner Walsh.
This is not a question, but just to echo Chair Tassin's comments. You know, it's clear we're still in the information gathering phase on this project, that there's we have some data, but not complete sets of data, and later on in May, the report will be due, and then we'll get some more evaluation. Obviously, the occupancy is something that's important that we've watched closely. Also, successful exits are remarkably important to all of us. And I would also encourage that when we have a comprehensive evaluation of this, and I'm sure you'll do it, but just for the record to say, a broader look at the overall cost of not operating these shelters. I think sometimes that's overlooked, that services will be provided somewhere, that there will be impact somewhere, and that's very difficult to monetize, and I respect that. But there is a cost when things like this aren't operated. And so as much as you can quantify, qualify that for us, I'd sincerely appreciate it.
That is an excellent point. And, you know, certainly none of us like to have to be spending this kind of money on these temporary structures. But there's a cost to society from not doing it. And again, like you indicate, not, you know, trying to monetize that is very, very difficult, but we know it exists. And I'm glad you brought that up. Ms. Surdy, any questions? Okay. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to move forward with this item. At this point, any further discussion? I'll have a motion by Commissioner Walsh, second by Commissioner Surdy. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Again, Mr. Davis, Ms. Jones, I look forward to hearing back. We look forward to hearing back your evaluation and how things can go forward, and certainly in our discussions with the city on backfilling those Housing Commission funds that we're expending on it at this point. Okay, let's go on to item 102. Item 102 is the proposed fiscal budget, 2019 fiscal budget. We have, this is the second time this comes before the commission. We had an insight into it at the last meeting, and now it's before us for approval today. Mr. Davis, take it away.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeff Davis, and with me is Tracy McDermott, our Chief Financial Officer. Today, I will be providing a brief overview of some of the major highlights of our proposed fiscal year 2019 budget, and then Tracy will walk you through the objectives and deliverables and the agency's proposed sources and uses of funds in more detail. This year, we are proposing a budget of $388 million. This budget is the second largest in the agency's history, surpassed only by the fiscal year 2018 budget that this board and the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego approved last year. The budget we are presenting to you today is necessarily conservative. We developed this budget utilizing the 2017 level of federal funding because we do not yet know what our 2019 funding will be. With the passage of the federal omnibus spending bill in March, we do not anticipate receiving notification of our federal budget authority from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development until the end of May. Significant reductions in funding are not expected. However, the spending bill only secures federal funding through September 30th, 2018. Should funding levels significantly change, which is a possibility based on news reports out of Washington, D.C., then we will reevaluate the budget as needed. This budget also reflects our increased involvement with programs to address homelessness. As this slide would show you if it were up, Our budget for homelessness programs has increased steadily in the last 4 years.
Okay, let the record show the commissioners have the slides here, even though it may not be up. We're tracking what your comments are.
Excellent. The capital budget graph on this slide reflects that fiscal year 2018 was not a typical year for the Housing Commission. It included the use of a large amount of federal funding for the Housing Commission held by HUD in reserves and city inclusionary housing funds. These funds were allocated in fiscal year 2018 for affordable housing acquisitions by the Housing Commission, loans to developers, and the rehabilitation of Housing Commission-owned properties. Less funding is available from HUD-held reserves in fiscal year 2019, and the Housing Commission cannot expect high levels of inclusionary housing funding to continue to be available. The budget we are presenting will enable the agency to continue to serve approximately 15,400 low-income households with monthly assistance with their rent, renovate, rehabilitate, and manage our growing number of affordable housing units, and administer programs that address the ongoing homelessness crisis in our city. Tracy will now walk you through the details of the budget.
We kept our mission in mind while developing our fiscal year 2019 budget and will be concentrating our efforts in three major areas: rental assistance, creating and preserving affordable housing, and addressing homelessness. We continue to provide rental assistance for more than 15,400 families. Our expanded Choice Communities Move to Work initiative updated and raised payment standards in areas where rental costs are typically higher. This will continue to provide households more flexibility in choosing where they wish to live. The Choice Communities Initiative helps households relocate to neighborhoods with more opportunities for transportation, schools, and employment. Our budget includes further raising payment standards based upon anticipated savings from our Path to Success initiative. We are also investing Move to Work funds to support the Housing Commission Moving Home Rapid Rehousing Program to assist homeless families. To create and preserve affordable housing, we committed more than $34 million to acquire affordable housing and rehabilitate Housing Commission-owned affordable housing. We will also award development funds to create 195 affordable rental housing units. This year's budget includes the second largest allocation of funds to support development in the agency's history. However, it is important to keep in mind that the city's affordable housing fund revenue in the last 3 years has been significantly higher than in the past, due in part to the amount of construction occurring in the city. Prudence suggests that we cannot count on this level of funding to continue indefinitely. In fiscal year 2019, we will also help 39 families to become first-time homebuyers. This budget also supports the continuation of the current phase of our homelessness action plan, Housing First San Diego, which will create permanent housing opportunities for 3,000 homeless individuals and families over 3 fiscal years through the programs listed on this slide. In the first 9 months of Housing First San Diego, our partnership programs have already created more than 1,700 housing opportunities. The Housing Commission also administers the City of San Diego Homeless Shelters and Service Programs. These programs include the 3 temporary bridge shelters that provide beds and services up to 674 individuals, and the new transitional storage center that will provide up to 500 storage bins, beginning in June. In addition, a third new program, the City's Housing Navigation Center, is expected to launch this fall. Now let's talk about our sources of funds for fiscal year 2019. This slide summarizes the total funding sources for fiscal year 2019 compared to 2018. Funding decreased by $45 million, primarily due to the use of funds in 2018 to fulfill commitments to purchase affordable housing properties, extend loans to developers, rehabilitate our own properties, and launch the city's temporary bridge shelters. This slide compares total funding sources available in fiscal year 2019 compared to 2018. Note that the new revenue only decreased by 5%. This pie graph of our new revenue for fiscal year 2019 shows that more than 81% of our new revenue is from federal funding. Now we will discuss the uses of funds. This is a summary of total uses in fiscal year 2019, which reflects a decrease of 7%, or $24 million, primarily due to decreases in capital expenditures, loans to developers, and as well as grant expenses. These are offset by increases due to the launch of the three temporary bridge shelters, the city's new transitional storage center, and housing assistance payments related to the Expanded Choice Communities Initiative. This is a year-over-year comparison of funding uses by major category. Note the decrease of 7%. This chart depicts total funding uses, not including reserves by major division. The majority of the funding uses in fiscal year 2019, 53%, are in the rental assistance division, shown in the blue area on the pie chart. Now, Jeff will go over staffing and homelessness programs expenditures.
Our staffing needs for fiscal year 2019 are consistent with our 2018 needs. As the city has turned to the Housing Commission to help address homelessness in the recent years, our expenditures for homelessness programs have steadily and significantly increased. This chart illustrates for you the significant and growing investment the Housing Commission has made toward addressing homelessness over the last 5 years. These programs in particular require more personnel than other programs because of the population they serve and the direct one-on-one interactions that are necessary with families, landlords, and service providers. This is among the reasons why our staffing needs remain consistent with last year, even though this budget reflects decreases in overall sources and uses of funds. The fiscal year 2019 budget will support our homelessness programs as well as our administration of city programs. Our expected expenditures by the major programs in fiscal year 2019 will total more than $88 million. The short-term needs of San Diegans experiencing homelessness on city streets today must be kept in mind and addressed while maintaining focused on essential long-term solutions. The Housing Commission is balancing these dual needs within our limited funding. When they approved the city's temporary bridge shelters last November, the City Council required approval from the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego for any extension of operations beyond June 30, 2018. This budget includes funding for the extended shelter operations if approved by the Housing Authority. The operation of the new Transitional Storage Center at 116 South 20th Street is subject to the Housing Authority's evaluation of the program and decision about whether to continue it or end it during the Housing Commission's budget approval process for fiscal year 2019 and again for fiscal year 2020. The City Council also directed the Housing Commission to bring forward a comprehensive funding plan for the second and third years of the center during the fiscal year 2019 budget process. Our fiscal year 2019 budget anticipates expending cost savings from the temporary bridge shelters to fund operations of this transitional storage center in fiscal year 2019. Pending approval by the Housing Authority for fiscal year 2020, the Housing Commission property reserves will fund the continued operations of this transitional storage center. With this in mind, however, the City of San Diego has committed to replenish Housing Commission funds expended for the temporary bridge shelters and new transitional storage center with approximately $12 million already identified by the city. The funds the city has set aside to reimburse the Housing Commission are not identified in the city's budget, but they are designated by the city for two projects that will be presented to the Housing Authority for approval this summer. We are asking for your approval of this fiscal year 2019 budget in the amount of $388 million. And this concludes our presentation. We'd be happy to take any questions or comments.
Thank you. Before I invite Mr. Russell to come back up and make his comments, let me ask you a question in terms of the timing that you're bringing this forward to us. We don't know exactly what HUD is doing, you know, how they finalized the budget is what I heard from you. Why now? Why bring it to us forward now with that uncertainty still hanging out there?
We we are required to bring the budget forward to the Budget Review Committee either the first week of May. So we need to have those funds identified and the spending authority we think that we'll be receiving.
Okay, Mr. Gentry.
As was just indicated, we're complying with the standard city process on timing of all budgets related to city activities and city-affiliated agencies. I'll also point out that we could wait for a couple of years until I know what Washington, D.C. is going to do. I think what I learned this past week in D.C., and I think at best guess, given the fact that there was a budget that did pass generally last winter in December, was a looking forward to a two-year budget. I feel confident that this year and next year that the money is going to be there consistent with the last two or three years. I think the real stress federally is going to be in 2 years when kind of the cows come home on the tax cuts that occurred in December without reducing expenses across the board consistent with that. I think along that fiscal year 2021, there are going to be some real issues for this for the country to deal with beyond just housing, but we'll be part of it. In the meantime, we feel confident that this is a good proposal to put before you all this morning.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Russell.
Again, and thank you for the opportunity to comment on this budget. I first want to start off by commending Mr. Gentry and the Commission on your willingness to step up to what is a civic crisis. I mean, it's a catastrophe, actually, in terms of homelessness. And I think that the political imperative to bring resources to that problem is something that would be hard to resist, but I'm asking you as a board to back him up in resisting this, frankly. There's an increase in this budget of $12 million to bridge shelters and a decrease in $14 million in development for permanent housing. There's 195 units proposed for permanent housing. There's a pipeline of over 1,000 units that could be built if the funding were available right now, projects with entitlements, with land, with other elements lined up. We know that the solution to homelessness is a home. And if we continue to divert resources away from the homeless, away from permanent solutions to temporary solutions, we're merely kicking down a day of reckoning down the road. So I would say that spending money, especially spending reserves on this sort of things, like eating your seed corn. So you've got to be able to produce housing if we're ultimately going to solve this problem. I would encourage you to not accept this budget, to give it to the authority and ask them to make good on their commitments. First of all, to backfill the money from last year that has not been identified. The IBA report says that the money to repay for last year's activities or the current fiscal year have not been repaid. They say they've identified the money, but or rather they've called out the money but not identified the source for next year. That to me is merely a promise. And I think you need to, they should be finding money from other resources such as CDBG within the city. They should be asking the county to step up and do its duty with Health and Human Services to provide some of the things that you are being asked to provide for out of things such as your reserves. So I would say that the mayor is using the Housing Commission as his piggy bank, and he's taking one a very expensive date on your credit card. I would encourage you to recognize that your fiduciary duty is to the commission, not to the city of San Diego, and ask that they make good on their commitments of resources to provide what is ultimately their duty to do. So, again, with all due respect to the fact that you are stepping into an important issue and providing solutions, I think that you're kicking the can down the road. You're being asked to participate in that. I ask you to resist. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. And your comments are heard loud and clear, not only here, but at 202 C Street, as they have audio recordings of our hearings. And so they've heard your comments loud and clear. Now, let me just say, your arguments are hard to argue against. The fact of the matter is that we can't build ourselves out of this crisis fast enough to resolve this issue. And we've had a crisis here in San Diego on the homelessness front. I don't like the idea that we've gone, according to staff's report, that this region's expenditures on homelessness have gone up fourfold in the last 4 years. From $22 million roughly to about $88 million. That's reality. I don't know, staff, where we stack in terms of in comparison to other cities. I suspect we're not alone. I suspect that we're not overspending on this, or spending much more than what other metropolitan areas our size are doing, but I'd welcome your thoughts on that.
I can't tell you numbers of the numbers other cities are spending in comparison with ours, but I can tell you that housing authorities across the country are focusing on homelessness in many cases for the first time. So it's something that's going on throughout the country. Housing authorities are being looked to help with homelessness crisis going on in communities.
Okay. Let me ask you, if I could just continue with my question, and then I'll turn it over to the commissioners to ask your questions, is how do we project the 2019 revenues? How do we do that? I mean, it's based on a projection on what we're going to get. How do we do that?
Federal funding or all of our
federal funding?
Federal funding, we look at what we've been allocated in prior years. We follow up with HUD. We follow up with the city, what they think the expectations are for a CDBG home. Our budget authority for our MTW, we estimate that based on the get ready letter that comes out early in the year. Our local numbers, our property reserves are based on, we figure out how much is going to how much revenue is going to come in, tenant revenue. We figure out what's the cost to run those properties and what is left after that. Affordable housing fund, we look at prior year we call collections and do an average based on what we think is coming.
Okay.
Those are our major funding sources that change from year to year.
Okay, thank you. This is a recommendation to the Housing Authority, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a recommendation. We're recommending you allow us to bring this before the Housing Authority for approval.
And the Housing Authority has the right to modify this budget as they see fit, don't they?
Absolutely.
Commissioners?
Yeah, the historically, the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego made all of the decisions. The commission was advisory on everything. Recently, the City Council has delegated authority to the commission, so we have authority to take actions on many things. One of the items they were not willing to delegate was the budget, and that's because they're responsible as elected officials to monitor the use of those public funds. And so we are advisory only, and they have the sole and exclusive right to approve or modify the budget.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. That's not all that bad, commissioners. Mr. Walsh?
to make a couple comments again, I know I'm not asking the questions, I'm making comments, but I think I want to just provide a perspective on the budgetary challenges you face that I think should hopefully give a little air gap between some criticism or questioning, especially on the federal dollars. And I'll do this very quickly, but the federal government has a budgetary process where there's two budget resolutions and then 12 appropriations, and they have to pass that by a deadline. Over the last 20 years, the federal government has not hit that deadline very many times. Okay. And when they have hit the deadline, when they have funded it, it's been late. And when it's been late, it's often been in things called omnibuses or CRs, et cetera. They're all kind of transformer-sounding names, right? But they're these large packages. So and it's not that this is – you're facing a problem that every municipality faces when they're trying to predict federal funds. And the federal government has realized that this has become a problem, and they've actually put together a bipartisan group trying to figure out how to change how the federal government budgets. So I want to just give a little bit of that comment for the public so they can see that there's no other way for you to move forward than how you're moving forward. If you chose to wait, there's no prediction of how long that would be. There's no accurate prediction. So you're making best estimates based on 20 years of watching the federal budgetary process and the information you gather when Mr. Gentry goes to D.C. and talks to people. Me sitting on this board, I'd recommend that's exactly what you should do until the federal budgetary process changes or the manner in which it's done changes. So I just say that And then secondarily, I agree with the perspective that how funds are spent should be something we take very carefully, especially immediate emergency funds versus long-term brick and mortar. But it brings back, you know, when I was in college, I was an EMT. That's one of the ways I made my way through. And you were taught at first, if a patient has a major bleeding in an extremity, you tie a tourniquet to that arm. Even though we know if you leave a tourniquet for too long, they could lose a limb. But if you don't put a tourniquet on the arm, you may lose the patient, right? And so we were met with a crisis, and we are applying a tourniquet. We do not plan to leave that tourniquet in place for a long period of time. We know that would cripple the agency if we continue to do that funding. But I haven't been presented with another option right now. And so until we get all the data back, until you get the report from these shelters, until we can really get our arms wrapped around what is, if not a national, a global phenomenon in some ways, I think we have to have some level of support for these programs. Those are my two lengthy comments. Thank you.
And those were very good comments, or welcome comments. We appreciate that. Mr. Gentry?
Just a couple of additional points. One is to Commissioner Surdy. Structurally, the housing authority is the parent board, and they can delegate what they wish to this board and take back what they do not wish. And we've seen a lot of delegation of authority to this commission over the last 10 years as we've changed the way we operate. Second, with respect to the budget, too bad we didn't have Roberta Spoon here as well, a former board member, who's also still involved in an ex officio capacity and overseeing what we do. From about 2010 to about 2012 to 13, we fundamentally changed the way we do budgeting in this organization. It used to be literally one person who controlled everything and would take last year, look forward to the next year, and you had to beg for money. That person ain't here anymore. The way this budget is constructed is the way a mature, competent business constructs their budget. A budget is not a financial statement. A budget is a management tool. We look to the departments to come in with and justify what they see going forward based on past plus other information they have, controlled, of course, by our CFO and by our chief of staff. So that what this is a ground-up budget, zero-based, if you will, every year, but based on history and outside knowledge as well. So this is a budget is a guess. It's not a statement. So this is our best guess, our best estimate going forward based on what we know now. And based on our experiences, we changed our process over the last 5 years. I have great confidence that this will be an accurate budget going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Any other questions from the commissioners? Okay, a couple questions still, staff. Let's talk about the community, the Choice Communities program. And you mentioned in your presentation that you're projecting an increase in spending there. I'd like for you to talk a little bit about that. And if you could, given the amount of misunderstandings, I would call it, for how that program works, I'd like for you to just touch on that a little bit.
Well, Choice Communities is, it began 6 or 7 years ago. We identified 7 zip codes that we raised the payment standards in substantially so that some of our participants could move into areas that we typically didn't see our participants living in. In January, we expanded that to 3 zones, and 2 of the upper opportunity areas had increased payment standards. We left the lower opportunity areas at the same payment standard. And so this really offered an opportunity for our families to start moving into better opportunity areas. We kind of created a middle zone, if you will. And so that was initiated in January. We were able to afford that because of the Path to Success initiative that we had implemented years before. We just recently received authority from City Council and the Housing Authority to have, and this board as well, to have a third phase of our Path to Success initiative, which will cause us to have even further cost savings, which we will then use to have another update to our payment standards for the Choice Communities areas. Probably no later than January 1st, probably sooner than that is when that will be implemented and brought before you. And we're looking for potentially a very significant increases in payment standards. Those cost savings will hit us in about 2 years. We have the reserves to implement it now. So we're looking at potentially up to $6 to $8 million more each year available for raised payment standards.
Thank you. Mr. Gentry, in his report earlier today, talked about the attention Washington, D.C. has given to our Path to Success program. And you mentioned in your report that that we've taken some savings from that program. What are the projected savings that we have associated with that program?
Over the course of the three phases, we will probably save what we would have spent about $10 to $12 million more each year than we do because of these three phases.
Okay. Commissioners, any other comments, questions? We have a recommendation to adopt the 2019 budget as presented here and by staff. Any further discussion? I'll entertain a motion to approve. Motion by Commissioner Walsh, second by Commissioner Surdy. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Davis. McDermott, we are looking forward to the housing authorities addressing this issue and how they will respond to the budget that we're recommending to them. Okay, commissioners, that is the action items for the budget on the agenda today. Any further discussion on any items that you wishing to address or bring forward to the commission? Hearing none, I'll adjourn the meeting. I want to thank you all for participating today.